Nothing do it. What's the saying? Nothing do it than to.
Nothing to it but to do it.
Nothing to it but to do it. Yeah, I couldn't get that out there. So, what's good? What's going on in the world?
Deep dives, chill vibes. Mike came up with that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, we got the Conspiracy and Chill podcast. We are two truth seekers exposing the keepers. And, you know, Tom and I always hit you with those deep dives and give you chill vibes, right?
Sums it up pretty perfectly, if you ask me.
I think so. We got Brandon Kroll. Brandon Kroll on this episode. That's going to be super entertaining for everybody. Before we get into the, into all the good shit that you probably tuned in for, just a couple of housekeeping notes. I changed my X and my Instagram handle to Sawbuck Mike. There's a story behind that maybe next time Tom and I do our podcast together that I'll get into it. But yeah, for now, it is Sawbuck Mike. Also, we want to thank some of you, there's about a handful, maybe a half dozen or so of you real hardcore loyal fans that the podcast is released at 5 a.m. and by 5:30 a.m., there's a handful of you guys that have already downloaded it, so you know who you are. Shout out to you guys. We fucking appreciate it tremendously. And everybody else, I've noticed we have more 5-star reviews, so we do appreciate that too. Yeah, we appreciate everything. We're just fucking, I sound like a retard, but we appreciate everything.
Yeah. sounds like we've got a good amount of YouTube attention too, which I wasn't expecting that.
How so?
Looks like the videos views have been going up. We got a lot of subscribers, even though it's barely been like a week.
The subscribers are, yeah, they were going up pretty quickly. And what was crazy is because for us, we appreciate every single one. So, you know, when we get a few that's like, you know, that's big to us. So when we're noticing we're getting, you know, 5, 6, 7 at a time and we don't even have any content up there, we're thinking that's fucking crazy. But yeah, we appreciate it.
Hell yeah. And YouTube isn't the most, you know, popular way to consume podcasts, but some people still evidently like to do it that way, so we'll keep providing it for you out there.
No doubt. But yeah, Brandon Kroll, this is the guy that you were trying to get on the show. You got him. He is very well versed in a lot of cool biblical shit from what you were saying.
Definitely. He on his page, he says, self-described as a conservative, libertarian, Christocrat, contrarian. And I like to, you know, go for the deep dives on the secret societies and what their occult beliefs are and like what they trace, you know, their lineage to, and the obvious symbolism that people in the, you know, truther community point out, like, you know, celebrities and stuff making these gestures or posing a certain way, and you know, just symbolism in pop culture and stuff that almost seems like way too obvious, hidden in plain sight, but he takes it to another level. So he's on a deep dive of his own. We'll have to get his expert opinion while also dumbing it down for both you and I and anyone listening who might not be as far down these trails.
Deep dives, chill vibes, bro.
Bingo.
This was a fun one.
He lines up perfectly with, like I said, just kind of the general thing that people in this community try to point out.
Dude, did you hear about, this happened I think like maybe 2 weeks ago as we're recording this. It was in Florida. Hulk Hogan rescued a lady that flipped her car over, I guess, and he rescued her. But here's the crazy part. He was interviewed, you know, right after the fact. You know how they do. The news interviews him, da-da-da. He was wearing an NWO shirt. So imagine this, bro. You flip your car. You think you're going to die because you're trapped. Your car's going to catch on fire. You're bleeding. You look out the window, and all of a sudden you see Hulk Hogan coming in an NWO shirt to save you. The fuck, bro?
That is some shit I would literally have expected to happen when I was like a little kid if I got into a car accident. Like, oh, no worries, you know, Hulk Hogan is gonna come save me or something. You wanna know some funny ass shit? When 9/11 happened, I was probably, I don't know, like, dude, 7 years old, and just like any other little kid at the time was confused as to what was happening and like, oh, what, these countries attacked us, like, you know, and like they're feeding us the terrorist narrative word for word. I told my mom and dad, I was like, what they need to do is they need to just send all the WWE over there to beat up these guys.
No, you didn't.
I did. I thought that would solve it. I was like, you know, like these are the toughest, strongest guys in the world. Can you imagine if they just went and fought the terrorists? It would be over in an instant. Like, dude, we got the Big Show. We got Mark Henry. Like, they don't stand a chance. Like,
oh my
God.
Cage
just like choke slam the terrorists.
The world's most dangerous slam will take care of them all. Oh,
and,
man.
That's my childhood naivety and paradigm at the time.
Wait, so and, you were only 7 years old when 9/11 happened? You had to be older than that, dude. Because I was
the math checks out.
I was 21, bro.
Well, I was in third grade. So however old you are in fucking third grade.
Holy shit, dude! I'm so old. Yeah, I was. I was
to be 31, and that was 2001. So.
Damn. Yeah. Well. Okay. Yeah. I'm what? So I'm. You're gonna be 31 this year.
Yes.
When?
In about a week.
Oh shit! So coming up. Okay, I'm going to be 44 in August. So, yeah, like 13. I'm 13. Got like, yeah, 13 years on you. Holy fuck. When you say 13 years, that's one way of saying it. But when you say I was 21,
how old you were at the time, yeah.
Right, and you, that is kind of a weird fucking thing. So, yeah, this one was fun. Brandon Kroll, super knowledgeable, covered a lot of things. And I think everybody will enjoy. What do you think?
Let them hear it. All right, so here we are. We got Brandon Kroll, an independent researcher and self-proclaimed podcaster for hire. He is a extreme deep diver. I found him on Instagram, and I love what he's posting on there. And thanks for coming on, dude.
Appreciate you having me on.
One of the main things that I see from your page is, you know, breaking down secret society symbolism and the occult practices of, you know, the elite or the deep state, whatever you want to call it, kind of. Yep. Things that people in the truth seeker or conspiracy community, if you will, are pretty privy to and like, you know, like to use as a, you know, like a whistleblower effect to kind of point out things to people who are a little more naive, like, hey, look at these, you know, they're all flashing the same symbols. They all kind of have the same mystical occult beliefs, but you definitely take it to a whole nother level. And if I'm not mistaken, you said you're related to Albert Pike.
I am. Ben Franklin.
And Ben Franklin. Oh boy. So before we get into all this, then why don't you tell us a little bit about how you kind of went down this deep dive?
Yeah, sure thing. Well, first of all, thanks for the opportunity. I usually don't get personal inquiry podcasts, so it's kind of fun. But yeah, I guess this all kind of started that I've always had a little bit of a rebellious streak based in my childhood. And again, I'm not going to go into detail that, but it just was building a foundation mindset where I was very much against, like, you know, that this is the way it's always done, you have to do it this way. And I was one of those people. I was like, okay, well, give me a reason why, like, why do we do the things that we do? And never was really getting answers. So I was very independent in that sense. I went to a college that was in Florida, very denominationalist focused, and I was like, your guys are having us memorize things that I don't think I'm ever going to be able to use later on in life. I ended up doing horribly. Came back to do a community college, and it was there I met a professor by the name of Finkel, and it was English literature, and he was making us do stuff that was like Animal Farm, Shakespeare, the Iliad. And he was one of those guys, like, it wasn't just an English class for him. He wanted you to experience and be involved with the characters itself. So like with Animal Farm, he had us like all put the tables together and sit around the tables, and then we were all looking at him like, okay, this isn't a typical English class. What do we do next? And he just goes, and he like gives a little silence, and he points to the slide and just like, discuss among yourselves. And it was a psychological thing to get us thinking, like, which character are you in this book? Who's going to take the initiative? Who's the one that's laid back? And then how can you add that to your personal life? And then he had us read the Odyssey, and I was totally, I'm one of those guys, like, when I get something, I want to do it different than anybody else in the classroom. So I hit that, and I said, what if he's suffering from PTSD? And he's just like, what? So I wrote a whole paper on that, and he loved it. And he's like, you really should probably consider, you know, looking into, like, writing professionally, because you're actually fairly decent at it. And I was like, well, you know, I always loved writing. I love writing fiction, and I have a whole trilogy thing that I dabble into. And then a couple months later, I was watching one of those spooky videos on the occult or like alien stuff on Facebook, and somebody mentioned a guy by the name of Dr. Michael Heiser. I read his books, and ever since then, it's been a rabbit trail all over the place. And I just fell in love with finding out with mythology, symbolism, occult, and just history in general. So I kind of found my little niche right in the middle where I can explain that via history and symbolism to everybody.
Symbolism is one of the very few things we kind of have to go off of with these secretive groups, because as so-called, you know, in quotes, secretive as they are, it seems like they kind of get off on hiding in plain sight by flashing their symbols, whether it's, I don't know, to communicate with each other or maybe have, you know, an influence on our collective consciousness by flooding us with these symbols and these signs all the time. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? Is it more of a, you know, they're showing off, or are they communicating, or are they casting a spell on us?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I mean, I look at it from a biblical perspective because I've connected the dots, and I call it from the Tower of Babel incident that God changed all their languages so they couldn't build a tower to heaven, which is what they were trying to do. They're trying to go to war against the heavens. So if you're going into Billy Carson stuff, he'll say it's like the Anunnaki or stuff like that. In Enoch, this was known as the Fallen Watchers. They came down, had affairs with the daughters of men, and this created the cryptids, the Nephilim or giants. And this is where they're taking passages of scripture and justifying invasion of another land right now in the Middle East. When it's like, no, that was going up against an angelic abominable offspring. It has nothing to do with individual people. But Nimrod's family, particularly his son Tammuz, they concocted this whole Ponzi scheme, like a Bernie Madoff thing, of, oh, Nimrod's dead, but guess what? His son was regenerated, and this is him in the flesh. So if you listen to him, I was reading the Emerald Tablet, and it was a translation from Isaac Newton, who was also an alchemist. And there's a phrase in there that was dang similar to Carl Sagan of, I am like the highest achievement that there ever will be in heaven, in the heavens or below. And as above, so below. So we're getting the Satan or Baphomet. As people, right. It's a misnomer. I would say that leans more towards Tammuz, this guy that's stemming from the occult. After the Babel, all the languages were confused, so they couldn't understand each other. And so like a deity telephone game started to occur to describe the personalities of everybody in the family. And of course, what else do you have if you can't speak the common language? You have symbolism. So the occult is still acknowledging that via their symbolism, with esoteric, which is hidden, and exoteric, what the plebs, society, knows. You'll see that as a rock on sign. Whereas they're going, that's the curse of Satan, or, you know, hail the divine man sign with 666, which means you can obtain godhood status without creator God. That's ultimately what they're boasting, that we can achieve an ascension without God.
So basically, like, their whole thing is the Gnostic, yeah, like New Age-ish type of deal. So when it comes to...
They can become their own gods. Yeah, exactly. Essentially.
The Luciferian versus Molochian thing. Do you have any opinions on that? Like, how some of these cults seem to favor one or the other, or is it all kind of the same shit?
Well, that's what I try to tell people, is that from a lot of the books that I read, one minute it's like the Masons are against the Jesuits and the Jesuits are against the Masons, or next minute they're like merging to off Abraham Lincoln, of something I was doing a deep dive with. So it's like almost like a frenemy alliance. At this point, I'd say they're all pretty much the same. It's the same organization, different head. So it's like whack-a-mole. You try to take out one, you still got 90-something others all over the world that can just take their place.
Kind of what I've always thought with it, like, it's all just a big theater, and they're kind of just, yeah, they're playing all the different parts.
It's an orchestra. It's an orchestra of deception.
So there's an emerging theory amongst a lot of academics. One of the primary ones is Diana Walsh Pasulka. She is a writer and a professor of religious studies at North Carolina University. There is an emerging theory that what has been depicted as angels and demons in the Bible are actually what they are calling UAPs, or these non-human intelligences now. I wanted to know your thoughts on that.
That's actually one of my favorite topics. I kind of cover this a little bit on the cryptid warfare, and I'm going to try to explain it. It might not be exactly what she's talking about, but I can kind of give you my perspective on a field vein connecting into that. So when it says in Enoch that when these watchers came down and had affairs with the daughters of men, Anunnaki, whatever, that once God punished these Anunnaki, he locked them under the river Euphrates. And right now, it's said in Revelation, when it dries up, that's when these four beasts will come out, and that's known as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. That's where that all connects to. A lot of Christians don't even know that, because they start like, oh, Enoch is not canonical, it's the Apocrypha, so it's not relevant. But what it states in Enoch is that he's telling these angels that violated the code in heaven that you're not supposed to come down and do this. You're from a different realm. This is not what you're supposed to do. Basically stated that when your kids die, the giants, the Nephilim, they're not going to go down to Tartarus or Sheol to visit you. They're not going to come up to heaven because they're an abominable offspring. They don't belong up here. Instead, they're going to roam the earth for 70 generations until the time of the end. So we actually get the root word demon. It stems from the Greek daemon, D-A-E-M-O-N. And that it means a spirit being. So when people are getting demonically possessed and stuff like that, it's not from a fallen angel per se. It's more so by their kids, the giants. This is why they have incredible strength. They're able to throw somebody across the room when you're watching these ghost shows or whatnot. That's where this is stemming from. And what I've figured out is that I think what they're trying to do with like Elon Musk with the chips, robots, the animatronics that you see are these giant puppet mache monsters, is that I think the Fallen Watchers are going to try to give their kids bodies back. And they're going to do that via transhumanism and whatnot. Kind of create like a zombie parasitical grid, if you will. Kind of like the Matrix. But if you get this Mark of the Beast that it's talking about in Revelation, that means now you can be indwelled by this demonic possession. You're basically saying, I consent to be branded into this system. So that now they can just fluidly travel through everybody in a demonic possession grid and kind of be like an Agent Smith and pop up anywhere. Also, that they can now be get bodies back via robots or the animatron demon thing. Those creepy puppets you see and the parades going on these days. That's kind of where I see where they're going with all this, is they're trying to get their kids' bodies back. That makes any sense.
No, for sure. That's a very cool and interesting take. I love how you got so much crazy information that, you know, like I've never heard before, like the daemon and stuff like that. That's super awesome, dude. You mentioned Billy Carson a little bit earlier. Mm. I wanted to get your thoughts on him. I've researched him like many have, and you know, I'm not such a big fan, but I wanted to know what you think.
I am not a fan of Carson at all. I have actually challenged him to a debate 6 times, and he keeps running away from me. He does not even answer. I'm like, dude, because the stuff he's talking about, he's saying like the Emerald Tablets are good stuff, and the Hermes is a great guy. And I'm over here like, no, Hermes is another variation of Nimrod's son, Tammuz, that basically says we can achieve our own godness. I don't know why you want to go to Creator God. The fallen angels or watchers, they already gave us the secrets of the universe. I mean, they were from there, right? I already translated this stuff, so we don't need them. And it was on the two pillars of Lamech. Lamech was one of Cain's descendants. So you have Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. Cain slew his brother Abel, if you're familiar with that Bible story. And what it appears happened is that after Cain was banished with the mark of Cain, which was very probably similar to what you see for the mark on Harry Potter's forehead. It's probably very similar to that, that he went to Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon in Hebrew means cursed or forbidden. And he offered up his daughters for this angelic orgy to come down and have affairs with the daughters of men. So constantly when you're reading in Greek mythology or whatnot, that they came, the gods came down and, you know, you're the son of Zeus or whatnot. That's where that stems from. And this is the reason why they would put statues on top of their temples, because they were trying to entice the gods to come back down and be amongst men once more. Hermes, or Tammuz, Thoth is where we get the word thought from, wise, wisdom. He translated these tablets by Cain's descendant Lamech, and it was these pre-flood. God flooded the earth because what the Watchers taught man and the Nephilim and whatnot, God's like, we got to wipe it all out. And he did for the majority part. Some Nephilim survived somehow. Still looking into that one myself. And the two twin pillars, or the Emerald Tablets, were translated. And so Tammuz basically rebooted what was pre-flood. And he introduced cuneiform, where we get astrology. He's likely the Prometheus, where we get fire from. And I state this because Prometheus is known as a messenger between the gods, as is Hermes, as is Thoth. always depicted with the Caduceus staff as is Baphomet's manhood. And what I don't like about Carson is he's basically pitching that Hermes is a good guy here. And I'm like, no, he's not, because basically his ideology is what stems all the other occults saying that we don't really need a creator god because he already figured it all out. Everything we need is down here. That's it. This is the highest we will ever obtain or achieve. And what I think Billy Carson is a controlled opposition so that when people are buying this idea of an alien invasion with Project Bluebeam, that they'll be looking at these space gods returning as a good thing. And it's going to fix our society. And whoever is going to be the messenger or the mediator between the gods is going to be the Antichrist figure, most likely. Now, while they're going to have us all looking up as if it's coming, as they're coming down, in reality, I think it's going to be coming up from the River Euphrates. But they want us to get the idea believing in aliens and extraterrestrial life, when in reality, it's going to be fallen angels coming back. So that's my take on Carson. Sorry to be long-winded, but I don't like him.
No, that's great. That's good stuff, man. I echo a lot of that. I'm not a huge fan. Are you familiar with Matt LaCroix at all?
Name's ringing a bell like crazy. What is he? Does he have a show?
I'm sure he does. Yeah, he's been on a lot of podcasts, and his thing is kind of similar. He doesn't claim to be a prophet or anything, but he's done a lot of really good research. He doesn't bullshit like Carson. I don't know. I just get my bullshit meter just goes crazy with him.
Right. Same.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. You mentioned Hermes Trismegistus Thoth.
Yes.
You're the first person that I've heard with the take that he was a bad guy. Can you kind of elaborate on that a little more?
Oh, hell yeah. I've done other shows, and since this one's not visually stimulating where I can actually present slides and kind of be like, you see this? You see this? I'm not making this up. This is an exact quote and description, but you can tell a lot just with the symbolism, especially like the Caduceus staff. That's known as the Herald's Wand, and it's attributed to both Thoth and Hermes. And again, that's the Egyptian equivalent, that's the Greek equivalent. So across the Mediterranean, they're having things going on. Baphomet, again, goat god, and it's very interesting with goat gods because you got Pan, you have Dumuzid, and this is where I've connected it to Trump.
Donald
Trump has a modern, yes.
Wow.
He has a modern variation of Tammuz's name. Donald stems from Adonis. Adonis means Lord, as did Baal. Baal Hermon, Bel Hermon, that connects to Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon, Hermon, where we get Hermaphrodite, where we get Hermes from. Again, Hermaphrodite, when you get with Baphomet, is another connection there. Pansexual, pandemonium, pandemic. So now I can connect this to the two. Sorry. when you are looking on Baphomet's arms, you have one tattoo that says Solve, which is an alchemy term of coming into existence or bringing something into form. And then you have Coagula, blood clot. 9/11, two towers coming down, is the ascension day for coronation day. It's 9/11 was coronation day for kings in ancient Israel. The two towers coming down is representing the two emerald towers that now he can ascend. Corona in Latin means crown. So when I'm connecting this stuff, I'm looking into etymology, so we get to somebody like Trump. So we get Donald, means Adonis, means Baal or Lord, that's what the name means. And then we find the equivalent. What's the equivalent down there? Well, the equivalent over there would be Dumuzid. Dumuzid with a Sumerian goat shepherd god. And then we get Dumuzid's equivalent was Tammuz. And Tammuz is mentioned in the Bible in Ezekiel 8:14 in relation to sun god worship. And it was an abominable ceremony. So I was like, okay, so now we have a connection with sun god worship. Let's see, does Trump have anything in tie with this? Yes, he has three sun god relics up in his penthouse tower. Happens to be the before address used to be 666. He just happens to have the all-seeing eye between two pillars up there. Now, if you see your social security, you'll have two pillars on each side. Why is there a falcon beast or a bird of prey? Well, it could be an eagle, it could be a falcon, it can be a hawk. That would connect to Horus. Horus is a sun god, as is Apollo. as is heliocentricism, where we get our globe Earth from. Ra would be more so Nimrod's, Tammuz's father. And then was a couple other ones. Yeah, pretty much. I just think of a sun god, that'd be an equivalent. So I was trying to figure out, okay, if Hermes is such a good dude, how come he connects so much to this all-seeing eye and sun god worship stuff? Because, like, even when you get the halos in the Catholic Church, where did that stem from? Well, that came from Egypt. And Catholicism is not Christian at all. It's a counterfeit as hell. And that really pisses me off when I'm hearing people saying it's Christian. I'm like, no, it's not. So we get the halo from there. Where do you get the little Pope's hat from? You get that from Mesopotamia, and that used to connect to the Philistine god Dagon, the fish god. So I'm over here going, if Hermes is such a good guy, how come these people are worshiping him or killing people in his name? He's over here trying to teach man that we can become gods ourselves, which, if you know the story of the Garden of Eden, the snake comes up to them and says, if you listen to me, you shall be like gods. And it talks about that in Genesis 6:4, that the sons of God came down and had affairs with the daughters of men. Now, a lot of people like to just think, oh, it's just God up there by himself. No, he had a heavenly council. What I think was happening is why he sent Christ is because it's not God incarnate. I'm really against the triune part in Christianity. If anything, he was sending his son to redeem new people on this side of this realm because they can't go up there yet. Why? Because they need a sacrifice. They need something to break that realm barrier. Hence the baptism. And when he was baptized by John the Baptist, that was the breaking of a barrier. Because personally, I'm a domer. But if you were listening from that perspective, it's supposed to be firmament. That's what it means in Hebrew. It means solid dome. And it says waters above, waters below in creation. So by being baptized, he's now breaking that barrier. So those who follow or accept him can be indwelled with a Holy Spirit from another realm, celestial. Because then you get the verse later on in the New Testament that says, behold, what manner the love of the Father that we, Christians, saints, those who are set apart, can become sons of God. So who, what does that mean? Our last time I saw sons of God, this was in Genesis. How are we sons of God? Because personally, what I take, a lot of Christians get mad at me for this one, but I said, I think we're replacing them. That's why spiritual warfare, supernatural warfare, they're pissed because we're replacing them in a heavenly council perspective, as opposed to the other way around, where they used to be up there and they're like, oh, shoot. So by him coming back to life, he in the flesh of who he was, not reincarnated like Nimrod or Tammuz, that's what they're trying to pitch, is that Tammuz came back and he was reincarnated of his dad. It's like, no, they stayed dead. Christ came back. That's the significance of resurrection as opposed to regeneration and reincarnation. It's a parody. That's why I call him Christ's pagan doppelganger. So him trying to pitch this whole thing like, you can be reincarnated, you can have immortality. If you die, you'll become a god on the belt of Orion, which is why they have stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. They truly believe that they can ascend and become like gods. Angels in ancient Hebrew were known as star walkers. This is where happens to be a Jewish individual, the guy who wrote Star Wars, George Lucas, Luke Skywalker, it used to be Starwalker or Starkiller. Yeah, all interconnects because of the mythology or the traditional sense of stuff coming down. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I feel like I just went all over the place. I'm not sure if that explained it, though.
No, it does. And to speak for Mike and myself, like we both definitely were hardcore, you know, alien and UFO guys. And I was a big David Icke guy. We both were raised Catholic and kind of like, you know, we got away from that. And I was not really into the whole idea of religion because of Catholicism. And it was just so dry and boring. And like, I even dabbled with, you know, some Celtic paganism stuff at a point and eventually reached the understanding like, oh no shit. Like, yeah, this is all angels and demons when it comes to the aliens and like the pantheons of other gods and Odin or Cronos and all this other stuff. And
yes,
it really is the people who kind of push the narratives or the alternative thinking, like when you were saying with like the Hermetic stuff or Billy Carson and these other guys, it's like they know that people are going to eventually pick up on this kind of thing as it's, you know, coming back into the consciousness. So if they can just lead you just enough astray, where there's not the God aspect of it, where it's like, no, you're your own God, or you can become a God yourself. Like, because the whole David Icke thing, it's like a lot of what he says is actually true, but he leaves out the one main aspect of it, like the God and demon part. He tries to paint it as, you know, interdimensional beings from another star system or some shit instead of demons.
Yes.
Wild stuff.
And that's even, it's right that you felt that way, because somebody else was saying that they felt very weird being in the Catholic Church. And he was bringing up this, and I was like, oh, wow. Because when you look, take apart the word religion, we get R-E-L-I, which is rely on, and then you get G-I-O-N, jinn. Jinn, if you're going by the Middle Eastern definition, J-I-N-N, is dark spirits. So religion is rely on dark spirits.
Well, shit.
That's nuts.
Denominations, demon, I, nations.
That is...
That's crazy.
That's why I'm not a denominationalist, and people get mad at me. I'm like, why would I want to?
Well, shit, I'm with you. Like I said, I've kind of been through it all. I've dabbled through it all, and I don't really feel like I fit in with any church, and I definitely have a... Jesus in my heart nowadays, and that's what I feel matters the most, because once you have been down these topics for so long, and like you put it this way in your posts and stuff I've seen too, you can clearly see that the, you know, powers that be, whatever you want to call them, the Illuminati, for lack of a better term,
have a
deep spiritual belief of their own, whether it's got to do with human sacrifice and, you know, trafficking children and symbolism, and like they do think they're gods when they come out to these like Super Bowl shows or these giant concerts, where that basically is like the new form of idol worship. And it's just crazy, man. That type of shit leads you to Christ if you're really, you know, open to it, and you can kind of spot the deceptions and stuff. And yeah, that's definitely where it led me. Were you always Christian, or did you always have the biblical perspective when you were first starting to get into this stuff?
Yeah, I was adopted into a Christian home, but I didn't accept Christ until I was about 12 years old. I'm a very intellectual, analytical sort of individual. So it was like I knew head-wise a lot of stuff, but it didn't really click for me until I was about 12. And then where I got saved was next to the Connecticut River. It was three benches down, I remember, from the town of Enfield in Connecticut. And I remember that I was big into pirates at the time. So the phrase that I used was... ironic, it was like, Lord, I want you to steer the helm of my ship. And the minute I said that phrase, it like something just surged off my back. It literally felt like dimensional, whatever you, I don't know what you want to call it, but it was a thing where it was enough to make me literally jump. And I looked around, my dad didn't even see me, but I was like, okay, that's something I've never felt before. But it literally felt like something was just released off my back. And prior to that, I used to have a very bad temper that I think I inherited from my birth father. And from there, I can definitely say that I've felt like I've been being watched. I've gotten into incidences and scenarios where I'm like, there's no way I should have survived that, but somehow by the grace of God, I did.
Do you have any kind of ghost stories, or maybe you saw like some kind of crazy triangle in the sky, anything like that that you can't explain that you could share?
Oh gosh. I can tell you one story. It wasn't necessarily with a UFO encounter or whatnot, but I think it was actually demonic possession. And I was at my buddy's house. His name was Sam. Sam's not, if I sound like intellectual, him, he's like another dimension, like a couple degrees off of Einstein. Like he's up in his own head most of the time, but he liked hanging out with me cause I'm like a goofball. So I kind of help balance and bring him back down. And we were in his room, and we started hearing shrieking going on in the other room, and he's renting from somebody. So we go around the corner, and we're making tea, and we look over to the couch, and there's these five girls over there. Three of them are the daughters of the person who owns the house that he's renting from, and two of them are guests. And one of them is just, like, constantly rocking, going up and down and shrieking like crazy, and I was like... okay, is that a liberal having a meltdown? Like, what the hell is going on over there? And I truly believe, because later on I kind of brushed it off just thinking it was that. But later on I saw one of the girls at the community college, and she was stating that girl dabbled in Ouija boards before, and that she was also a believer. So I was thinking, where two or more are gathered, maybe that was kind of a little bit of a demonic trigger for the girl, or it was causing her to kind of convulse in a sense, or get kind of crazy. And I'm not gonna lie, I think at first I was just not thinking about it, but I was like, oh, I wonder if that was something. That's interesting. So I don't know, but it's something spiritually sent me centered in my heart where I was like, I think there was something more going on right there.
I was gonna ask, how did you find out about the relation to Albert Pike?
Oh gosh. So I knew already that I'm related to Zebulon Montgomery Pike from Pikes Peak, Colorado, where we get Bumbers, Ways of Grain, Purple Mountains, Majesty. That guy. And he was also a Mason. So I did a little digging and I was like, okay, so these two are related. And I was like, okay, so if I'm related to Zebulon Pike, that means I'm related to Albert Pike. And then I was doing a little bit of digging. It's kind of tricky to find out where, because there was at one point like 9 siblings. So in some genealogy lines don't go all the way, but I know if they, the Zebulon Pike and Albert have some sort of connection biologically, that I'm connected to that. With the Ben Franklin one, I already had a chart that my aunt gave me, and this one goes back almost like 10, 11 generations, some of them. And I found out I was related to, is it Bathsheba Folger? Her father was Peter Folger, and that was Ben Franklin's grandfather. And she was also my grandma. She was one of the accusers during the Salem witch trial that threw a shoe at one of the defendants or whatever. Yeah, and then Franklin was big Mason in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when it comes to pretty much American history altogether, it's filled with Masonry and Odd Fellows and Skull and Bones. And literally, you can't get away from these cults and these fraternities and stuff kind of propping everybody up, whether it's celebrities, athletes, politicians, whatever, right. Actors, like it's so unavoidable and so all encompassing. And that's like, so I said, I love that we're going to be talking with you and doing this topic, because it's such like a common thing for people to share or post or try to point out, like, look, like they're all in the same club. They're all doing the same symbol. They're all seen like hanging out with the same like witch lady, Marina Abramovic. They're all, you know, propped up by the Rothschilds. And like, when you look into the Masonry, you look into all this, like, kind of goes back to exactly what your work is saying. Like, they trace their lineage to these fallen beings or these demigod kings and these, you know, fallen angels, demons, basically. Even the Rothschilds and like the top percent people, they look like they kind of have elongated skulls and shit themselves.
Yes.
And that's why they interbreed so hardcore to try and keep this, you know, extraterrestrial alien demon king blood pure.
I mean, that's what, again, I write this frequently in descriptions, and sometimes I'm just kind of surprised when people are asking me questions in the comments. I'm like, I did this like 2 posts ago. But Rothschilds claim in biographies to be descendants of Nimrod. They're the ones who designed the Israeli Supreme Court that happens to have a pyramid, the all-seeing eye on top. And they are also the ones that gave us our IRS, which has, you know, our, it prints to its control of our money. And that was through Jacob Schiff. He was the guy that came over and helped create that on Jekyll's Island. So when I'm telling people, I'm like, they definitely believe in a messiah figure with, if they're having that eye on top of the pyramid, because that either the eye on top of a pyramid, the star on top of a tree, or the wings on top of the caduceus staff, those all represent the product of incest at the end of the day, is Tammuz. You want to go into pentagram, 3 and 2, 3 and 2. 3 represents male because of the digit. 2 represents female. 5 is the number of man. So why are we putting a star on top of the tree? Well, that's the product of incest, the best man that ever was. And on top of a fir tree, it was alleged that Nimrod died at the base of a conifer tree. Conifer means pine cone. So when you see Tammuz, the winged deity, or Ecuador, the little thing with the pine cone, what does that mean? Pine cone represents pineal gland, ascending, coming anew. That's what that all represents. And so when you're looking as well to the little shoot that comes off of Baphomet's head that goes all the way up, kind of looks like a little egg on top, pineal gland, you're ascending. You're becoming like Isaiah 14:14, that the serpent said, I'll ascend to become, or Lucifer, I'll ascend to become like the God Most High.
Dude.
So when, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the what the Egyptians did to the human brain. They did like a cross section of the pineal gland and how it looks just like the Eye of Horus. Like, mm-hmm. obviously they modeled it after that. Isn't that insane? Like, how advanced were they?
Very. So when you're getting to the Bible story, why is the first trick that Moses chose, or God chose for Moses, was the staff turning into a snake? The Caduceus staff.
Bob. Oh, yeah.
So I almost guarantee you that's probably what their rods look like. So then they threw it down. They were probably a lot more advanced. What did that do? Probably actually really turned into a snake. What did God's snake do? Consumed them. Mm-hmm. So again, what I'm trying to explain to people, because people are like, oh no, the Druids are, hey, Christmas didn't start until Martin Luther. And yeah, I'm like, okay, let's pull it back. Find the pentagram. It traces back to Mesopotamia 6,000 years ago. They found it on pottery. So the first witch, or sigil of Ashtaroth. Asherah means grove in Hebrew. So when they're saying tear down the groves of Baal and Ashtaroth, that connects to tree worship. It's actually mentioned in Jeremiah 1 through 5. It was talking about tree worship and be not like the pagans who look to the stars in wonderment or for advice. Ashtaroth, astrology. And when they're over here doing the snake staff stuff, eventually this serpent cult is not getting as popular into the Mediterranean area as they were hoping. So what happens to these magicians or sorcerers? They start migrating further north to the northern tribes, and they became known as Druids. Now you look up anything on Druids, they'll tell you it's tree worship is one of their biggest things. Regeneration, going back to the Christmas tree. If you look up where we have most of our Christmas traditions, it'll stem back to the Druids of Germany and Ireland. Why do we have Hollywood? Named the after Druids a tree
wands.
That was used by Druids, right? But when St. Paddy was given the moniker driving the snakes out of Ireland, who was that referring to?
The Druids.
Druids. Snake again. Snake staff.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite topics. And what really led me, you know, kind of back to Jesus in the first place is because I've super Irish ancestry, and like that was something I was always interested in, and you know, studying the Druids and kind of like being a LARP pagan coping, like, no, the Druids were good, you know, they were cool. Meanwhile, we knew they were literally doing some Canaanite like activities and just a lot of human sacrifice. Like,
yes,
they were they referred to themselves as the serpents, and yeah, the tree worship thing. Some of the stuff that I've uncovered is I feel like very confident at this point that the Celtic races are a lost tribe of Israel, and that they were just, you know, carrying on some of the old practices that got them kicked out and exiled in so many places. It just evolved into other stuff, kind of like you said, as they spread out. And like the whole word Druid, or the word Jew even too, some people think comes from the yew tree, like that they were the people of the yew tree, like they were worshiping the yew tree. And
oh, that's cool. Like
that. Yeah. And Iberia was the name of like Spain and Ireland at the time. Mm-hmm. And the inhabitants of that place would have been referred to as Ibiru or Ibri, which was Hebrews. And there's even an island off the coast of Scotland too called the Hebrides. And then you consider the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry and all the similarities of Druidry to some of these secret society cults. And I was starting to piece that together, and I'm like, oh, fuck, dude, I can't go along with this type of stuff anymore. It's clearly got some malevolent ties. But something else I was even considering, because I've thought of it from many different angles, is like, obviously the Romans played a big part in, you know, having the firstborns killed to try and prevent Jesus from being born, and yes, eventually hijacking the church together and forming the Roman Catholic Empire and the Vatican and whatnot. I have a theory that if the, you know, the Celtic races that have been kind of suppressed and subjugated to a lot of genocide and whatever else over the time, that maybe the Romans, because I don't know, maybe was it like 30, 40 years before Jesus was born was Julius Caesar's time? Mm. His main enemies was the Gauls. And he basically holocausted them. Like, he killed all the Celts within Central Europe. What if he knew that they were a lost tribe, and he knew a Messiah was going to be born, just like many of the wise men and stuff prophesized? So he took out all the Druids so that they couldn't be born. You know, Jesus couldn't be born of that lost tribe. And I've even thought and speculated that, well, the Galatians of Turkey, they were Celtic people. What if the Galileans themselves were Celtic? And Jesus was from Galilee. So like, I don't know. It seems like the Celts have been largely targeted by two of the most powerful empires of all time, the Empire, the English Empire and the Roman Empire. And yeah, I don't know. Leads to a lot of questions.
Well, I know a little bit. So when we're getting to the sea people and whatnot, I was able to piece together just through looking up when, every time you see a Philistine depicted, they got the little red headdress going on. And they were the basis for the Phoenician culture. The Phoenician culture were the ones that were getting kicked out by Joshua. And there's even in Ireland and one of the base of the clips where they said we got kicked out of where we were by, and they actually named Joshua's like name and his father, blah blah blah. So I think maybe there's a connection even with that, with the Celts. Maybe there was some sort of Phoenician ancestry connecting to them. As for the like last tribes and stuff like that, that's something I've always been wondering, but more so I've been leaning towards. I think a lot of people are emphasizing towards ethnicity, or like, you know, they're like, oh, Jesus was black, or, you know, the blacks are the real Jews or something like that. I'm like, I don't think it matters, because Galatians 3:28 was talking about there's neither Jew nor Greek, male or female, bond or free, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And I think what a lot of people are missing is they don't understand what the Holy Spirit really is. And I just did a recent thing with Missing the Point podcast explaining that, and compare contrast alongside Freemasonry, is that when we're talking about like Holy Spirit, we don't really understand the significance of the temple veil being ripped in two, is that there's no longer a God in the Holy of Holies, because he's now within you. And it states this throughout the New Testament: as greater is he that is within you than he that is of the world. Know ye not your body as a temple of the Lord? And then I think somewhere was it 1 Corinthians 3, is that whoever hurts one of God's people, blah blah blah, you're hurting something of God's, and he will avenge, or temple. And he even states this himself. It says, in 3 days I will tear down this temple. Well, he didn't talk about the physical building, he was talking about himself. So the fact that we can't find the Ark of the Covenant these days, I highly suspect, because if we did, we probably could touch it, because it's now within us, the Holy Spirit. Now we have access to that. And that's what I was trying to explain to people, is you have to understand, this is a son, not triune. And I'm going, because if you're going triune, you're believing God incarnate died for 3 days. That is very much a Nimrod Tammuz religion, where he regenerated, he was reincarnated. He on one side, he ascended to become the god of hell through Osiris, or CERN, Cernunnos, where we get our internet from. They're the ones that created the internet. And then disease X, Osiris pose X, that's where that's going to come from, going back towards Nimrod. But when you go the other way, it's either at a certain point, triunes have to understand, when Stephen the martyr was dying, he says, I look up to the throne of God and I see Christ Jesus, or I see God and Christ Jesus on the throne, sitting right, standing next to him. And it's like, okay, that sounds like two distinct individuals. Talks about two thrones when you get up into heaven. And it's insignificant, because when at the baptism, he says, behold, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. What does he send? A dove. Doves symbolize deliverance, as it did with Noah. Where do we see Christ a little bit later? In an olive grove, Gethsemane. Compare and contrast with the Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden means paradise. Gethsemane means oil press. Jonah's name meant deliverance as well. But what does he send? He sends a dove. A dove, one, to give us land in the Noah's Ark. He sends a dove to give us new life. Why? Because he just broke a barrier from above and below. We now have access to a spiritual realm. He just delivered us. What also happened is when he died, he came back from the dead realm to deliver us. So when we get a newness of life or the Holy Spirit, this is what it's talking about. Because when you look up the cup ceremony for in Hebrew tradition or Israelite tradition, dad would select a young man from town, make sure he had good standing, he could provide, he'd arrange this marriage, he called the young man over, says, drink of this cup, have a little of this wine. If he did, cool, he was accepting of the dad's terms, the dowry, whatever. Then they take the rest of that cup and hand it over to his daughter. Now, it was here where she could honorably say, I choose not to drink, I don't like my father's selection. It would have been an honorable thing. They say, okay, we'll go back to the drawing board, we'll get somebody else as a consort. But if she accepted, the young man would add on to his father's house. So this is what it really means with communion, is here is my blood, here is my body. And what did Christ say? I go to prepare a place for you up in my father's house. So by doing communion, you are choosing the father's son. We're now being adopted into a spiritual realm. Sounds a lot better that way than, yeah, he died for 3 days, God incarnate. No, he sent his son. So the fact that where he's dying on the cross, he says, Father, really? Could you let this cup pass from me in the Garden of Gethsemane? He says this. It's a big, big deal that we're missing. And a lot of people, they think they know what the Holy Spirit is. But when you get to Matthew 24 and 25, it's talking about sleeping bridesmaids, saying that 10 of them are there, 5 of them fall asleep. And when they finally do wake up, they find out they don't have any oil. Look at this from a biblical perspective. What does Proverbs say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. So if the word, Bible, is the lamp, and it was written in and inspired by the Holy Spirit, as I think it says in Colossians, it was inspired, godly men were inspired to write with the Holy Spirit's blessing. So if the Bible or the word is the Holy Spirit, what is oil? Oil would be the Holy Spirit indwelling you with discernment, so you know and you're prepared for when the bridegroom returns. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're going to fall asleep. And what does he say? Depart from me, I never knew you. You thought you were of Christ. You said, Lord, Lord, did we not do things in your name? But you never really understood what the gift was. And that's the scary part, is that most denominationalists are defending adjectives and doing stupid stuff like defending Zionism and not understanding what you're supposed to be as a Christian, is that his kingdom is not of this world. It's not about patriotism. It's about representing me for the kingdom of heaven. Sorry.
No, that's good.
Anyways,
do you believe in flat earth? Are you a flat earther?
Yes, I'm a flat earther, but I believe in a dome more so, kind of like a crystal ball in a sense.
A firmament?
Yes. Yep.
Let's go. I've been telling Mike we need somebody with this perspective on, because most of our guests so far have laughed at the idea when we brought it up. And
yeah,
I kind of lean in that direction. I wouldn't say I am. I don't know either way. I just know that, yeah, the scriptures do tell us it's something like that, and pretty much the people who give us all of our knowledge about space are Nazi occultists who have lied about almost everything else they've taught us.
Right.
So I kind of find it hard to take their word for it.
Yep.
Love it.
Well, that's the thing, is that if you look into the history of this, you're getting, it was a Jesuit that came up with the idea, and the Pope was even accrediting him, saying, thank you for coming up with something that still makes creation work, but also approves like of evolution. And it's like, no. It's very distinct that there are three realms, above, middle, and below. I think, honestly, that below used to have water as well, but after the flood, because the water came up, so it emptied it out. What did that open up? The option for hell to be created. Waters went up, fires are lit. So now it's literally middle ground. We're in no man's land, living on Earth, and we get to choose between what realm we want to choose, whether we want to choose the realm of man, which is Tammuz, Hermes, and Nimrod's sun religion, New World Order, or we can choose the Holy Spirit. We can choose the Father's Son and go up. For those of you who did not want to accept this, well, you know, the fallen watchers that wanted to be like me, wanted to be like the Most High. Okay, you know what? You wanted followers? Take them. They didn't want to choose me, despite creation, despite the truth. They put ha-ha emojis. They put clown faces. They didn't want to accept me. So guess what? There they go. That's my take. But if you want to go into more specifics.
Speaking of clowns, are you familiar with Paul Stobbs or his work? His thing is the Nephilim look like clowns.
Yes.
Yeah, we had him on the show. He's a great conversation. And honestly, your guys' work overlaps a lot. And I know that now he's, and we discussed it a little bit with him, he's kind of making his work more focused on the millennial reign and the millennial kingdom. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that there will be or was a literal, you know, 1,000-year reign of Jesus on earth as the king? Do you think that that could have possibly already happened? Do you think that maybe that it happened, the rapture and all that, and we are in the little season that the devil is unbound, and they're kind of making it look like the signs of Revelation are happening so that we don't look back and think, oh, wow, you know, maybe Jesus already did come back.
No, I truly think that we're still in the pre-return of Christ. And the reason I say that is because the doppelganger aspect is so strong, like, especially with Trump, like with the word MAGA, high priest of the sun in Sanskrit, highest priest position on the Church of Satan website. It's in most Latin-based countries. It means mage, illusionist, wizard. When you look at January 6th, that was the day that Christmas trees were taken down. It's also the Epiphany of St. John the Baptist, where allegedly he baptized Christ on that day. It is the day that he was allegedly visited by the Magi. Again, root word for Magi is MAGA. So I'm seeing that when you were looking at the Paula White video I just posted recently of the Trump campaign, there's a phrase in there saying that he knows how to change the sands beneath the waters or something like that and turn them into gold. I said, that's a very alchemy affiliated term. The fact that Israel loves him so much that they have a pop song calling him Jerusalem's prince and to the sky he will reach, find that very suspicious. That Trump has called himself I'm the chosen one. He has had the Jews should love me because I'm practically Jesus. He's posted a photo where on his Instagram where he's sitting next to Christ and Christ is sitting next to him like in a shadowy ghost aspect. And, I'm being indicted for you. It's kind of like the Azazel goat that the ancient Israelites used to have where they would put the sins of the people on the goat and then send it off into the wilderness to be, taken by Azazel, which is affiliated with goats. Baphomet, Tammuz, as I tell people, Tammuz saw himself as Azazel incarnate. So the fact that all this stuff is going on and there is a idea, an ideology of pulling men's attention to look at the world as materialistic, that, you know, our money, our country, this is what's more important, is that we're in essence losing our focus that, well, what about God? Well, it's like, you don't need to really worry about him because we're more concerned about what's going on right down here in our country and our laws, our people, so we're losing a focus on the kingdom of heaven. Secondly, not sure if you saw the other post because Instagram was censoring the hell out of it. I merely went into AI, which we already know it's demonically possessed. And I typed in election 2024 results. And most of the photos that popped up were Trump, or it looked like a figurine of Trump newspaper articles. One of the articles pops up one phrase that was very distinct and clear to read, end of time. So I was like, okay, very interesting. Let's type in one more word. I typed in vice president. And then in the last photo that they gave me were four white horses over the White House. And the fifth horse in the middle kind of had like a dragon's face. And it shows Trump riding towards the White House. And it had over it 2014. 2014 is affiliated with 9/11. So that has an ascension aspect of coming to reign. With Corona, it was signed by Adonis Triumph. If you look up Triumph or Trump, it stems from the Greek word used in parades to the god Dionysus, aka Nimrod, the masked god of theater. The fact that they have another disease planned, X, very interesting. But another thing is that if you added 1 and 4 together, you get 5, which is the number of man. For pentagram, like I just explained, 2 and 3. Also, 2025 is when he'd be sworn in. Now, the Essenes, who predicted Christ's birth, hence the Magi, they predicted it in being in the year whatever, and they said that likely his return would be within 2,000 years. Somehow they did another thing where they predict that. So if you're going by 2025 to 2032, that would be exactly 7 years. They want their new world order up and running by 2030. Currently, all the billionaires, multimillionaires are building bunkers. So they obviously know something bad is coming, and they're trying to prep for it. It's because a new age is about to dawn for their perspective. But if Christ's return was in 2032, again, between 25 and 32, Trump would be sworn in 25. So I'm just saying, because he has the name equivalent of Nimrod's son, that the four horses, again, that somehow AI predicts is going to be over the White House, I'm seeing a trajectory where that could possibly be something that comes into play.
Man,
Are we sorry.
It's a lot. It's great stuff though. Are we on the track that Donald Trump might be the Antichrist?
Want my money? Yeah.
Oh man, that's gonna upset a lot of people.
Well, I hate to say it, when you watch the podcast I just did with Cosmic Peach and Heidi Love, it's gonna be releasing soon. I connect Kazaria and Q and Epstein all together and how it's gonna tie into Noah Hyde laws.
Well, every president has basically signed something to do with that, haven't they? And one of those is
makes Israel National News death. Trump's the champion of Noah Hyde laws.
Punishable by death to preach Jesus.
Yeah, and I think it's going to tie in to where they're going to attempt to assassinate Trump. Again, I think the Bible mentions something where they're going to do an attempt on the I can see him where he comes back within 3 days. And a speech comes out. They knew that this time I was going to come back and drain the swamp and fix all of blah. And they've tried to take me out and they failed. But little did they know, through the last several years, I've had been putting people into my positions of power to fix all the issues that we've been having going on. Hence, you get the White Hat's QAnon being fulfilled. And then he's going to say, like, anybody that's basically going against this is obviously supporting pedophilia or all this other stuff. And they're going to switch the narrative where that's going to be against Christians going, wait a minute, there's a red flag here. Hold on. Like, no, you're either with us or you're against us. Well, and then you get Noah Hyde laws. Sounds crazy, but he's already talked about weaponizing the political system, as they've already been doing against him. He's already been dabbling into the Bitcoin digital currency world. And if you look up the root word for digi, I believe that was short or to weigh. And you look up tal in Hebrew, means rain or dew. Coincidentally, that would equal short rain currency. It's going to be a short time where it's a monetary system. Hermes is thought to be the originator of coinage. So Mark of the Beast, teaming up with Mr. Elon Musk, Babylon Musk? I could see it. I could very much see it. Because who became popular with conservatives once Trump was taken off? Elon Musk.
It's spooky how all this is lining up.
I could be wrong, but I just told a guy yesterday, because he's more denominationally focused, and he's like, oh no, he's just a red herring, he's just a dumb guy, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, if everybody drops dead from the radio edit, Trump going to be probably the most popular guy in the world? I think
Mike,
so.
We're going to have to get a little Mario sound over the radio
edit. Yeah. That's all good.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's all good. I'm still tripping about the Babylon Musk.
Musk. You looked up Musk, it's a Talmudic fragrance. I tried to refine it. I couldn't find the article. I was like, you guys know that I'm catching on to you guys. Elon is a Hebrew word as well. I think it means, does it mean strength or something? I don't know. It's been a while.
So Donald in Gaelic means ruler of the world too.
Really?
World ruler. Yep. And then Trump means to deceive. But if you go to even further back, stems to Dionysus with triumph.
The ruler of the world who deceives. I think that does sound kind of Antichrist.
You guys know that the first person that was allowed to handle Tesla's papers and journals was Trump's uncle, right? Trump's great uncle. Like, that's for real.
That's right.
Yeah, you could look that up. That's for real.
If Trump is this moonchild, you got Jack Parsons and L.L. Ron Hubbard, who the Church of Scientology stated they wanted to create the Antichrist. Jack Parsons was always praying to the goat god Pan, which happens to be equivalent of Baphomet and or Tammuz. He was getting mad that something wasn't going right. Trump happened to be created right on the heels of World War II. Again, what is war? It's essentially a blood sacrifice ritual. So you have all this blood, all these bodies, and you now have a kid, the moon child, that Aleister Crowley was very big into Hermeticism and Thoth, kind of dreamed up. It was his dream child, like in 1917. Trump's born in 1946 in the month of June. June 14th happens to be Flag Day. If you look up why flags are not supposed to touch the ground, that connects to, I was a Druidic or somebody. They used to collect fingernails and whatnot, and you couldn't let these things touch the ground because they were very precious, and it became known as fetish. That's where that originally stems from. I was just reading a symbology book the other day. So he's born on Flag Day. Again, 14, 1 in 4 equals 5, the number of man. Also, if the month of June is the month of Tammuz, if you add the 13 calendar cycles that we used to have, that's right when he's born. The first rocket we sent up into space was known as Apollo. Again, Apollo, sun god. The second one was known as Artemis. Artemis was the twin sister to Apollo. Artemis is also the goddess of sudden death. Insert Fauci flu solution.
I remember when the
radio edit
thing was coming out and people were posting about luciferase being an ingredient, like Lucifer race, and then that there was a patent, something to do with
radio edit
from like Microsoft or something, patent number 060606. Mm-hmm. So do we think, kind of like tying back to that AI thing, that maybe that is a way of trying to prepare hosts for the Nephilim bodies, or the, you know, the offspring of those
100%.
Deities?
100%. I'm actually prepping a podcast for this with Janet. What's her face? I don't know her name, but I think it was Holistic something. She pitches the whole thing where the original DNA basically spells out Yahweh. And if you didn't know, every time you breathe, like when it says, you know, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord, the day of judgment. Every time you breathe, you already are doing that, because it's alleged in Hebrew tradition that when God breathed into him, the first phrase that Adam said was Yahweh. Every time you breathe, you're saying it every single time you take a breath. She was basically saying, so your watermark is essentially the DNA is in your DNA. But when you get this
radio edit,
you basically are getting something that has star material based in it that changes your DNA into 666. So again, angels were known as star walkers. You're injecting something into your DNA that's now going to change it into the number of 666. I'm going to take a hunch that the Sumerian gods, they used to control humanity. I'm just thinking that they're kind of prepping with putting angelic DNA into us, because they can't exactly procreate in the physical sense right now. They're trying to do it via this injection, which if you watch the Stu Peters thing, he had a lady that was on, and it was showing that those little black things sometimes are moving within people. So I very much think that the chip is going to be basically connected to the 5G and whatnot, because we have, with generations, we had originally Gen Z. What is Z? Zombie. Right now we're in Gen Alpha. I'm going to take a hunch and assume that the last generation will be Gen Omega. You shall be like gods, which you translate Hermes' name is roughly means is His Highness, the divine hero or whatever of eternal youth. It's roughly what his name translates into.
Man, there's so much that's been covered already, and there's so much more that we could really get into too. Kind of gonna be wrapping it up, but something I did want to get your opinion on before we do wrap it up is,
sure,
I remember seeing a video from Trey Smith. I don't know if you're familiar with him and his channel. His thing is God in a Nutshell, but he has a lot of good stuff too, but I know he's a big Trump guy, which makes me skeptical. And one of his things was something to do with Trump and Isaiah 45 and Isaiah 47. And there's people putting this coin out with Trump and King Cyrus on it.
Yes.
And
yes,
I don't know. So you have much more biblical knowledge than Mike or I. So have you connected or put anything together with the 45 and 47 thing?
Yeah. Add 4 and 5 together.
9.
Add 4 and 7 together.
Oh my God. 9/11.
Hey, you did it. I just gave you the math.
And we know that the temple was destroyed twice, supposedly on the 9th of Av, right? The Jewish calendar equivalent of 9/11.
So, but even still, add 9/11 together.
20.
2020. Add those two together, you get 40. Tammuz died at the age of 40 in a wild boar hunt. Every time Catholics are putting the little T on their head for Ash Wednesday, and they're having pork for 40 days. Yeah, you're celebrating Tammuz.
Oh, man.
Why is Christ always depicted as dead on a cross in Catholicism?
It sounds like a joke.
Yes, he's dead. But what, again, when you look at like the Chronicles of Narnia, he says, don't recite the dark magic to me, which I was there when it was written. And it's like, oh, so when that altar breaks in two in the movie, what is that symbolizing? Is that has no power over him. So the same thing, the T, or the cross, stems from Babylon, Persian region. By Christ coming back from the most horrid symbol of death that was probably commemorated in Tammuz's memory, and he conquers that. Wow. And yet, what does Catholicism do? It remembers him being dead, which is the doppelganger aspect.
Dude, you've dropped some mind-blowing stuff in this.
And, sorry.
No, it's awesome. This is why I wanted to have you on, man. And
would love, I mean, if you want to have me back on, I could go for days, dude.
Absolutely, I can tell. And it's been great, man. Mike, anything to add?
Shit, dude. We covered a lot. This was fun. Definitely have you back on, man, if you'd like to come back on, because
absolutely.
I feel like we say this with almost every guest, but you know, there's so much more that we could get into. Thank you so much, dude.
Thank you for having me on. Thanks for listening.
So anyone who is listening, Brandon Kroll _ Krollology with 2 L's _ 101 epic Instagram channel. You got anything else you would like to plug or?
Yeah, if you just want to find me, I'm trying to branch out with uploading more on different things, but Bishu Odyssey, but mainly Rumble, and a daily podcast, all one word. I'm going to try to do like Swapcast. I mean, if you guys could send this to me, I'd appreciate it. But yeah, that's basically where you can find me and find other places where I've delved into this with more visuals as opposed to what I just described here verbally.
So we're going to be having video in the pretty near future too. So when we have you back on, a visual presentation with it would be epic.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Totally game.
Yo.
Dude, my head's still spinning.
So, yeah, we covered a lot in that, huh? Or he covered a lot, I should say.
Fucking epic. That was nutty.
Yeah, that was cool, though. Like, okay, so here's my feelings on a lot of it. I like a lot of what he was saying, and I can get behind a lot he was saying. He obviously has, you know, been researching these topics for quite a long time, and he knows what he's talking about. That being said, I think a lot of it is just today's January 29th, 2024. If you add 1 and you add 2 and then you take 3 and then you add that to 9, what do you get? You get 43. That's how old I am. It's like, so, you know, a lot of it is like, if you look into anything, you could find coincidences or similarities with anything if you look too hard. I think a lot of it is that, but I think a lot of what he's saying does make a lot of sense too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm fucking blown away by the numerology every time. I'm a math tard, so there's that. Even the simple math he was asking me, I was like, oh god, don't put me on the spot with this. I'm gonna fuck up some simple addition.
No, I'm terrible at math too.
I think the numerology backs up even more because I know how much the occultists love their numbers, and like especially like the Bible is heavily encoded with numbers, and like some of that shit he knew right off the top of his head too. Like when I brought up the, you know, the Bible verses of 45 and 47, which Trump would be the 45th and 47th president, and like those verses are significant to that, and then he puts it to 9/11, and man, that shit is nutty, bro.
Yeah, but what connection does Trump have to 9/11?
Well, 9/11 was just a whole ritual about you know, the rebirth of the temple or whatever, like the falling of the old world and the bringing of the new world, aka the new world order. And if Trump's really the Antichrist, he would have everything to do with the new world order.
Yeah, see, I don't know, that's where you lose me. Occam's razor, the most likely explanation is usually the right one, and to get to a lot of those conclusions I have to believe a lot of crazy things. And to me, it's just not likely. But like I said, a lot of what he said, I do think there's a lot of truth and a lot of good shit to a lot of what he said. He's too smart for his own good, I'm saying, in some areas. You
crazy,
know, like
crazy intellectual.
Dude,
sure.
He's so fucking smart. Yeah, like you said, he just knew things off the top of his head. I'd love to have him back, though, because this is one of my favorite ones that we did so far.
Oh yeah, that was deep. That was fucking deep. Him ripping on Catholic and stuff was pretty epic.
I love how he went after Carson.
Yeah, he told me when I was first talking to him, he's like, that guy's like my nemesis.
Yeah, he didn't have anything good to say about him.
I mean, I kind of tend to agree though. Anyone who's being propped up in the conspiracy world, like this ain't a profitable fucking venture. Like even Sam is like the highest up one, but dude's not fucking rich and famous and whatever. He's still a touring comedian. Like, yeah, he does well for himself. He's doing all these podcasts. But, like, if he was a shill, he would be a lot fucking richer and, like, his shit would be all over the place.
Do you think Rogan's
Billy Carson
a shill?
Is, like, a billionaire? No, but I think he is probably, you know, told to stay within his line at this point. Like, he's just kind of like a fence sitter. He's not going to really try to sway people against the people who are fucking paying him. I don't think he's necessarily a Illuminati plant, but I also don't think he's going to be allowed to put out anything that goes against their wishes because he's so propped up at this point.
Do you think Alex Jones is controlled opposition?
He's given just enough truth. Like, he's right about a lot of shit, but he's also leading you back to trusting in Trump and trusting in, you know, government and elections and stuff, where, you know, I don't really think it counts or matters that he's like, he's giving you just enough truth with a little bit of lies. Otherwise, I don't know. They probably would have killed his ass a long time ago. And I, as a fucking character, I love him. He's hilarious. He's, his delivery, his, the shit that he says, he's funny as hell. Like, he, I don't know. Maybe he is legitimate and maybe he is being used as a fucking controlled op. He's being intentionally fed things. And
he
I
is
don't
a
know.
Character.
Who knows? Bro.
He is a character.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I don't believe that we live on a flat earth, but I'm totally, you know, I'm not closed-minded. I'm not going to sit here and say that I can't be changed because I don't, you know, I'm not married to any one idea that I have. So that being said, I don't believe we live on a flat earth, but I'm totally down to have one of the flat earth experts come on and you know, do their spiel because, dude, I watch flat earth debates all the time. I listen to them when I'm at work. I love the fucking topic. It's just, I don't believe, you know, I love it. I just, I don't have to be a flat earther to love the topic, you know?
Yeah. I listen to a lot of videos that I don't necessarily, you know, agree with or believe and just get the different perspectives and see what you could take out of it. But did you ever have Hibbler on the Reality Roundhouse show back in the day?
No, who's Hibbler?
Hibbler's like one of the main flat earth guys.
No, I don't think I had any flat earth guy really. Because it wasn't, in Hibbler, 2016, it wasn't a massive thing. It was really just Eric Dubé.
Right. You had him though, right?
No, fuck no. I never had Dubé.
No. Damn. Well, him or Hibbler or the dream guest too, Eddie Bravo, would be great.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got some in the works and, you know, we continue to reach out to people. The more we grow this, the bigger we get. The more 5-star reviews we get, the more followers we get on all the social media platforms. Two Truth Seekers. I am Sawbuck Mike. You are Headhunter Higgins. We are two truth seekers trying to expose the keepers. We do deep dives with chill vibes.
Love it.
Well, shit, dude. Anything else? All right. Well, this one was good, dude.
Right on, bro. That was wild.
Yeah, we'll definitely have him back on. But until we meet again, stay away from child molesters.